So we are now recording the session. So good morning, everyone. My name is Julia Horakova. I'm from the marketing department at the business school. And this lecture is a little bit special because I understood that this is the only lecture that you have on this course that is in English, actually. And we are going to talk about shopping channels and places in Finnish Ostopaikat ja Kanavat. And the reason why we are having this lecture in English is because I'm originally from the Czech Republic. So I'm a university teacher and I'm currently conducting my doctoral studies at the marketing department. And in my studies, I focus on consumer behavior and social relationships in digitalizing retail environment. And I'm actually going to talk in the second part of the lecture, and the first part of the lecture is going to be run by Jussi.
Hello everyone. Pleased to meet you. I'm Jussi Nyrhinen. I started as a senior lecturer here in JSPE early this year. I have done my doctoral degree in marketing. For a while I was doing my postdoc phase in Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences, but I'm happy to be back here in JSPE now. And among my research for GR, omnichannel consumption that we will be discussing today, and I have been also studying problematic online behaviors, so it's basically consumers' perspective. And the contents of today's lecture are, first of all, we will discuss how digital transformation has affected shopping channels and places from both corporate and consumers' perspective. We will discuss what is omnichannel marketing and what means customers' omnichannel or multi-channel path to purchase, and what are the touch points, in other words, the points of interaction between companies and consumers on that path. Also, we will discuss the meaning of place, meaning the physical place in digital commerce. And besides the impacts of digitalization on companies, we will also discuss about consequences of digitalization on shopping channels and places. We have also named you a couple of articles. One is by Julie, another one is by me, and they are related to this day's topics. So, what does physical place mean for customers in and companies in a digitized economy? First of all, place is still among the key elements of competitive marketing strategies. I'm sure you all remember marketing mix, or also known as 4 Ps from the basic course. And besides a mean of marketing, these physical places, right, like real estates, including shops, stories and such, location and overall area of influence are among corporate assets. For instance, besides their vast amount of data, one of the key assets of Finnish retailer S Group is that they have this huge amount of real estates all over Finland, and they own land, and so they can build a very affluent network of their services and shops, both in physical environment and also thanks to their digital channel all in digital environment. From consumer's perspective, first of all, availability has increased due to online commerce. On the other hand, many physical shops have shut down due to digital disruption and centralization of commerce to these big online platform retailers and hypermarkets. So therefore, especially in smaller places, there are less shops on the high street, and it even forces consumers to buy online. Secondly, The physical space has huge impact on atmosphere. There are various studies that when consumers are especially making significant purchase, they still want to touch and feel and taste the products and also experience face-to-face customer service, even though these online customer services have advanced. The consumers still want to discuss with the salesperson, and in general, they look for human contacts while shopping, whether they are shopping with their friends or just want to enjoy the company of others. So the digital disruption or digital transformation, whatever we like to call it, has not erased the role of physical place, but it's changing. And this is one of the key topics of today's lecture. So these physical stores still have meanings for customers and companies, but their role, nature, and purposes are changing. And we will go to these matters in detail soon. Here's a brief graph just to illustrate how even after this digi leap during corona pandemic, the share of e-commerce is growing steadily. As you can see that it's around person per year at its best. But however, what is worth noting, and despite the popularity of e-commerce, still roughly 80% of retail sales are done offline. Of course, that includes many fields such as grocery retail, retail services, and such, but still, the amount of physical trade is vast, and therefore we should ne neglect discussing about the role of physical space. So, first, the corporate perspective. How this digital transformation has affected su supply chain management, which basically means the channels where co companies get their products and also distribute them forward to their customers, whether they are consumers or business-to-business customers. First of all, boundaries between retailers and suppliers have effaced. For instance, there are more digital outlets by manufacturers, so in many cases they need less middlemen than in the past. By middlemen, I mean retailers, wholesalers, and such that distribute the product forward. However, as you know, these middlemen have not disappeared totally, and this is why this is the reason, because even though it might be more profitable to sell your products directly to your customers, these middlemen often have expertise of certain market, and you are able to have wider market coverage when you are utilizing middlemen besides selling your products directly to your customers. Another phenomena is backward integration in manufacturing. For instance, Amazon, that is a huge online platform retailer, they have also started their own manufacturing. One example is, for instance, Amazon Productions. So they are producing their own movies besides distributing movies by other production companies. One challenge from corporate perspective is that consumers receive information from multiple channels. Therefore, companies must consider their channel strategies carefully and especially consider how to target their messages through various channels. For instance, when consumers are shopping in a physical store, they are constantly seeking data with their mobile devices from your competitors, online reviews from social media, different online stores, and such. Also, suppliers may not be able to provide large amounts of the same product for different retailers because this commerce has dispersed so much. And therefore, many retailers will be looking for customized merchandise that will add complexity for manufacturers, meaning that they seek for smaller batches and also more customized products. And this could be also one reason why some retailers are doing this backward integration. So these changes made retailers to partially rethink their role. Of course, this depends on your customer segments and product categories. For instance, grocery retail, even though online grocery retail is still increasing, most of grocery retail in Europe is done offline. On the other hand, there are some businesses that are struggling. For instance, companies like video rental services basically are non-existent nowadays. Record stores are niche market, and also more traditional and those kind of categories that cannot be solely digitalized, like fashion stores, they are struggling against online stores. For instance, many consumers try and experience products in offline channel, but they buy from online channel that might be cheaper, it might have broader selection and so on. So this is a challenge for companies in many ways. First of all, how to prevent customers to change your competitors' channels? And on the other hand, how to reward your channels due to sales that they generate, even though those sales may manifest in different channels than where the customer has received service. Such phenomena is referred as showrooming. Basically, this means this very common phenomena to us all, that we try products in offline store where we get more information, we get to see and experience the tangible products, but in the end of day, we end up ordering that product online where they have better prices or other benefits. Counter phenomena for showrooming is called webrooming, where consumers browse products online, but for a reason or other, they purchase them offline. So, how to tackle these aforementioned issues or utilize these opportunities that digitalization has provided? As I mentioned, customers interact with companies through numerous channels, and they also virtually face them through multiple touch points. Touch point mean the points of interaction between customer and a company. And what also adds complexity to this omnichannel system, that this path is not straightforward. They also crisscross between multiple channels and even often use them simultaneously. For instance, as I mentioned earlier, consumers browse their mobile devices while they are shopping in traditional physical brick-and-mortar stores. And basically, the core idea of this omnichannel marketing philosophy is that retailers should pursue for a seamless customer experience across all of these touch points through channel integration of both online, including mobile, and offline channels. Basically, this channel integration means that all of these marketing channels are aware of each other, meaning that, for instance, they are aware of each other's selection. For instance, if something is missing from offline store, they can recommend to go online. Also, that is, channels have at least some level of interplay. For instance, you can return or order your online shoppings to an offline store. And most of all, why companies should aim for at least some level of channel integration is that they should be where their customers are. Even though, for instance, for one retailer, the online channel may not be the most profitable. However, their competitors are online, and therefore it's worthwhile for them to consider also to establish online store or emphasize on digital marketing so that they won't lose their customers to their competitors. I mentioned earlier S Group, and basically their ideology is that they try to create this huge net, both offline and online. They have various shops, consumer services, including restaurants, hotels, and also online stores, online booking systems, and such. So some of their former directors have compared this like huge fish net that is kind of omnipresent to catch their potential sales. However, even though these channels should be aligned, planning omnichannel marketing should be also acknowledge the channel contextuality. Even though the brand image or the style of customer service should be integrated across the channels, it is also worthwhile to acknowledge that consumers often expect different kind of experiences and services in different channels. For instance, what is quite obvious example that in physical store, they might be more interested about human contact, while in online store, they are more interested about amount of data and such. In past, this marketing strategy utilizing multiple channel was referred as multi-channel marketing. But that kind of thinking is considered old-fashioned because it was seen as siloed because they compared different channels and were thinking which channels they should prioritize so on. While this omni-channel thinking considers that they should strive for synergy benefits between this channel. And therefore, rather than analyzing the effectiveness of individual channels, they should analyze overall performance of a set of channel and rather focusing on factors such as customer experience or overall sales. I'm certain that you all know basically what is customer experience, but that is also a key measurement of marketing. Rather than focusing on some seemingly objective quality criteria, customer experience analyzes how a consumer personally feels about a company. But that topic will be discussed more in detail later on this course in a lecture by Tiina Kemppainen. So, I earlier mentioned customer paths and touch point. So here is very basic illustration. What could be a customer's omni-channel path to purchase? So there are multiple phases. First, there is need recognition. So basically, consumers either intentionally or unintentionally seek product information. They may see ads on print media, on street side, maybe read some social media discussions, come up with online ads. So this is one phase with multiple touch point. Second phase is more active, so it's proper information search when they might, for instance, read social media reviews, look for company's website or application, maybe read articles and print media, or visit their shops or other outlets, for example, for coffee shops in case of service industries. Then there is comparison of alternatives where they browse selection. Again, this can be done in physical store space or virtual store space, such as mobile application or online store. Also, one way to experience customer service in store is this augmented reality where customers jointly use their mobile application, for instance, scan QR codes and receive further information and more richer set of data than what they get in solely in store channel. Then this comparison phase is followed by purchase and or delivery. So for instance, in store, customer receives the product instantly. Also, there is transaction, so they can pay with credit card, with app or whatever. Also, if there are these ready made applications for buying, for instance, there are many fast food companies and coffee shops that have these customized applications. Well, consumers can order ahead, pay with application, and pick up. So also this purchase and deliver phase can happen in multiple channels. Final phase is reflection. That is basically this post-experience phase, where consumers spread their experiences, either physical word of mouth or online word of mouth in social media. They might write reviews, maybe give feedback to companies. Also, all sort of changes and returns are part of this post experience. That also affects how consumer forms their overall experience of the company. And what is also worth noting that all of these channels have halo effect. Halo effect basically means that, for instance, if customer has a positive idea of company from their online channel, it usually reflects to their offline channel as well, or vice versa. And therefore, even though one channel may not be as profitable as another, it could enhance this overall experience. For instance, there's this research paper that I'm currently writing with professors from our department, where we ran an experiment that showed that solely the integration between online and offline store enhances how consumers experience service in store. And this is due to channel integration, obviously. Here is one practical example. I briefly mentioned fast food restaurants and coffee shops. Here is a customer journey map of Starbucks. This is a practical example, not any actual marketing framework or theory, but it has somewhat similar steps like anticipation, which means that they, for reason or another, establish need or want. Then they enter the store where the customer experience begins, also, and this also deals with availability. Then we have actual customer engagement that happens in ServiceScape. Julia will soon explain you what is ServiceScape. Also, there is exit in case of a coffee shop. Normally, this could be delivery if we would discuss traditional retail shop. And finally, there is reflect phase that is similar to this example framework. And overall, the Starbucks has named this touch point that can either deteriorate or enhance the customer experience. And in order to minimize this touch point that will lead to poached experience, Starbucks some years ago established this application that made this process easier. For instance, the consumers can browse the selection, pre-order the drinks, and even pay with application. So all of this inconvenient practical part of service has less attention, while customers have more time to enjoy the atmosphere, aroma, and ambience. Also, they have social contacts in coffee shop and such. So basically, this application made this process fluent and gives more attention to customer service and social interaction in coffee shops. So this is just one practical example. So this was a brief introduction to omnichannel marketing. And next, we have a brief group assignment for you all. So I would like you to ask you to think of some actual retailer. It can be a shop or it can be a service like restaurant or coffee shop or anything. And please name its touch points in different phases of customer's path. I will put back this slide that illustrates the customer's path, so it's easier for you to complete this assignment. And also, please think how these touch points may improve or deteriorate customer experience. So you can pick some online retailer, offline retailer, or some omnichannel or multi-channel retailer, but groups from 1 to 5 will focus on offline channels and mainly ignore online channels. Only discuss if channel integration could improve touch points in these offline channels. And groups 6 to 10 will focus on online retailers or online channels and only discuss offline channel if it could be integrated to online channel in a successful manner. And please make a list of your touch points for your own use. We don't expect you to give actual proper presentation, but please be also prepared to present your conclusions and justify them.
I will just add here some practical things. So I will stop the recording now for the time when you are doing the group work. I will assign you to breakout rooms. However, Jussi said that he will put the slide back for you, but when the students are divided into the breakout rooms, they cannot see the slides shared. So I will now make the slides available in Moodle. So when you go to the course Moodle, you will see there the slides, and from there you can find the group assignment task, and you can also check the previous slides that Jussi was talking about. As for the
Thank you, Jimmy.
language, in the breakout rooms, if you prefer to discuss in Finnish, that is okay. But when we come back to have the discussion in the together in the big room, then please be prepared to give your summary in English then. But in the breakout rooms, the language of discussion is up to you. So I will now create stop the recording and create the breakout rooms, and we see in about 10 minutes here back in the big class. Okay? I will resume the recording now. And now let's discuss the what you discussed in the small groups. So groups 1 to 5 discuss the offline channel. So does any group want to share what you discussed about the touch points? I heard some interesting discussions there in group 5. Does group 5 want to share?
Yeah, sure. So we chose Kotipizza as our chain and focused on the offline channels, although they also have the online channels as well. So we thought that, like in the beginning of the path, you might have the postal coupons that have offers and stuff that they not so much employ anymore, but they still sometimes do it. And then also they employ like traditional media marketing and advertising. So, for example, on the roadsides and like magazines and journals and all those. Then we had the like information retrieval, and we put menus and then also the like signs right outside of the like physical stores where people might stop and see if they have something that they might crave on that day. And then also word of mouth, but we also had that like these are the positive things that might evoke the purchase intention. And then after word of mouth, we had the physical restaurant. So, for example, the atmosphere, the interior design, and the aroma, as well as the customer service. And then, for example, the home delivery. And we discussed that the fact that they deliver their pizzas by themselves with the like tiny cars and all those, it might, I don't know, create a positive impression of the company because they don't use external like suppliers, for example, Walt. And then for the bad ones, we put that, for example, last week they had a campaign that two pizzas for the price of one, and the queues or the lines were like for hours, and people were really mad about it. And then also, like, the physical product can be either good or bad if you get what you ordered. And if it's good, it looks good, it's a positive thing. But then if you get like a burnt pizza or something with like wrong fillings or an entirely wrong pizza, then it's a really bad thing. Also, nowadays they like guide people to order via the app. So if you want to order via phone, you have to pay 1 euro extra, and you can use that for the home delivery. So you only could eat like on site or pick it up yourself. So that might be a negative like factor for some people who don't prefer using mobile apps, for example. And then if the restaurant is dirty or like really crowded, and like for example there's too much noise, it might be disturbing for some customers. And also, for example, in relation to the campaign last week, a lot of people posted on social media that the quality of the pizzas has gone down, maybe like within the past 10 years. So negative word of mouth is also a factor. So these are the ones that we came up with.
And those were really good points. I especially appreciate that you mentioned that they have application like many other fast food joints, but basically, if you don't use app, it costs extra. So that could be seen kind of like old-fashioned thinking that they're trying to push their customers using the app rather than just having it available for them. You mentioned locations and restaurants of Kotipizza. Have you paid attention where these restaurants locate?
We didn't discuss it, but I think at least where I live in Tampere, they have them around like big, I don't know, like areas where people live, or that there are like many residents, and then also like shopping centers and stuff. So usually the locations are quite accessible by car and by like public transport, but they might not have restaurants in like suburbs or like further away from the city centers.
That was a very good point. So they are where their customers are. But in a matter of fact, they have restaurants also outside city centers. They have roadside restaurants, and most importantly, they are doing this what is called vertical integration. So, for instance, they have their restaurants within gas stations or, as you mentioned, in malls. And I'm not sure if they still have this concept, but back in the days, they also had mini restaurants within bars where you could purchase limited offering of their products. And as you mentioned, that location could be also one of downsides of Kotipizza's customer experience because they are rather practical than experiential. So therefore, this application is quite handy, and also home delivery. So they are not emphasizing the time spent in the restaurant, but rather their core offering. So the customers get good or not so good pizza as soon as possible. Are there comments by other groups? Group five was discussing about Stockmann, that is a Finnish warehouse, and they have like or department store, and they have rather traditional shop concept. Could you briefly illustrate what is your idea of their customers' paths in physical channel? Group five, anyone?
They posted, I think, in the chat now,
Okay.
but can you present these to the rest of the audience? Someone from the group.
Netta's mic is not working at the moment, so I can just briefly talk about the points that she mentioned. So one, awareness. So basically, like any form of advertising and marketing, from TV, print ads, on the street. And it's like unclear or misleading advertising can cause di disappointment and reduce trust. And the second one, consideration. The physical department stores themselves, where customers can explore products and receive expert assistance. And of course, like poor customer service and untidy stores can drive customers away. Thirdly, the decision. The in-store demonstrations. And the fourth one is purchase, checkout and payment process, smooth and quick payment process in store. Long queues and technical issues during payment can frustrate customers. And the last one, the post-purchase phase, customer service and support services and return process in store. Slow or unfriendly customer service can I can't, I'm going to butcher that word. Can affect the customer experience and reduce loyalty.
Yes. You mentioned very good points that can deteriorate customer experience. Can you give examples how Stockmann could fix these issues or at least try to fix them with integration to online channels?
Yeah, could someone else from the group talk about this one?
For instance, you mentioned that shopping in a department store is time consuming. So, like many physical retailers, I suppose Stockmann nowadays, they have these in-store pickups so customers can pick up their online shop orders from Stockmann department store, or they can also return their online purchases to the offline store. I'm not sure if this is the case with Stockmann, but many department stores in Finland and globally have adopted this kind of channel integration. And besides providing this more fluent customer experience, it also tempts customers of their online store to visit their physical channel. So that is one mean also to engage customers who are returning some products or picking up, that gives a nick to sell more to these customers. So these were some examples. Also, in case with Stockmann, you mentioned that for such places, customer experience in store is important. So they have also utilized this vertical integration. If you think that there are many so-called shop-in-shops in Stockmann, for instance, higher end fashion and cosmetics brands, they have their own mini shops in assigned departments, and also there are various restaurants working within Stockmann. So besides they get more sales, those restaurants are paying them rent, they also enhance their overall customer experience with vertical integration.
Okay. I think it would be time to move to the second part of the lecture at now.
We
So,
didn't cover online channel. Apparently, we are running out of time, so maybe in the end we can discuss your
yep.
observation about online context. Thank you.
Yeah. So now, when Jussi stops sharing his slides, then I will share my slides. Can you see my slides now? And now when I switch slides, can you see them changing? I sometimes last time I had some troubles that the slides were not changing. So are they changing, you see?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Jussi was talking about how companies are struggling to keep consumers loyal and prevent them from switching the channels and so on. And he was focusing mainly in his talk on this corporate perspective. But now let's a little bit more focus on the consumers and how shopping environments influences consumers in which ways, and what effects basically this shift from traditional physical places to digital places, or this integration of both physical and digital channels, have on the consumers and how they perceive shopping place, and how companies can utilize, for example, shopping environment and procuration of the shopping environment to keep customers loyal and enhance their loyalty, spreading of positive word of mouth or other positive consumer outcomes. So, as Jussi mentioned in the very beginning, place is one of the basic elements of marketing mix, but we often do not think about online stores as as places. But they are, from marketing perspective, we have to see them as that, because one way to define a place in marketing is that it is a repository of resources that are available for exchange. And this applies to both physical places, but also to online places. And even though we don't, the place does not physically exist in the reality, you just see it on your screen, it still has certain layout, certain atmosphere, and this kind of elements of traditional places that we see when we come to a physical store, brick and mortar store. So the ability of the physical environment to influence consumer behavior is quite apparent from the traditional physical retail stores, for example. The layout, the design, the atmosphere, the temperature, is there some music, is it hot, is the place crowded, different kinds of signs, symbols that are communicating in a way to the consumers what kind of service they might expect. But how about the online places? So there is a clear difference in the service scape, and service scape is basically, you can imagine it as a kind of contextual landscape for services. So the service, retail, other services as well, they are set in some kind of a landscape, and this is what we called a service scape. In the traditional physical shopping environment, when we look, for example, at the ambience, like temperature, sound, noise, special elements like design, equipment, tools, furniture, what kind of style it is the design, and so on, or different sorts of signs and symbols, we can look at these also from the online channels. They also have some sort of ambience. The difference here is that in the online channels, it is technology mediated. So you are not physically present in the place, but you are sitting at your home, in your office, on your couch. And the immediate surroundings that you are kind of in also influences the shopping behavior. And this is something that the firm does not have a control over. Are you shopping somewhere on a train where there is a lot of noise, where there is a bad internet connection, and this is a challenge then for the online channels. When you think about the spatial elements, the website also has a certain layout, navigation, interactivity. Is it intuitive for the consumers to find easily what they need to find, and so on? The signs and symbols that we are used to from the traditional physical places, they are somewhat translated into a digital language. So you can see, for example, the traditional shopping cart that you have in a physical place, the kind of a shopping cart icon or a shopping basket. So this is how we translate them into symbols and symbol language. The physical elements that we can find in the physical stores. So what is missing then in the physical environment? First of all, quick transitions from one store another. And the transition from physical environment to digital environment greatly decreases the switching cost to the consumers. It is very easy to go and browse several different stores and just a couple of clicks. You cannot really do that in the traditional offline environment. The switching cost is much higher. It costs you time to move from one store to another. It might cost you also actual cost in terms of money, because if the other store is 5 kilometers away, you either take a bus or a car. So in the online environment, the switching cost is very low for the consumer, and that has impacts the loyalty. And Jussi was talking about this showrooming effect, that people just go and purchase online, and they purchase where the price is lowest, where the service is best, and it's very easy to switch through different providers. So this is a challenge for the traditional physical stores. What is missing then in the digital environment is the sensory elements: touching, smelling the product, the social interaction with staff or other consumers. And that does not mean that there is no social interaction in the online environment, but it is just different than in the traditional, let's say, physical space. And in order to understand how consumers select different channels, how they navigate through different channels, are they first trying the product in the physical store and then order it online, or are they first checking online and then they go to the physical store to purchase it? In order to understand their behavior in the omnichannel environment, we have to understand their needs and motives that they have actually for shopping in certain channels. So Tauber already in 1972 divided the shopping motives in two categories. We can think about them as a personal motives and social motives. And although the model is created for a physical environment, we can also think about what motivations guide consumers in the digital channels. And the omnichannel thinking kind of integrates various channels into a unified system, and that appeals to different purchasing orientations. So we can think about the motives also as a utilitarian, for example, fulfilling some basic needs of the customer. Hedonic motives or social motives. Sometimes the social motive can be categorized under the hedonic, which is basically seeking a pleasure. And then meeting new people, and different channels or different purchase locations support customers based on their dominant purchasing motives. So utilitarian shoppers, because of the convenience and the fast fulfillment of the goal, they might choose the online channel because that might be the easiest place for them. On the other hand, people who are shopping for hedonic purposes, enjoyment, going to browse around the store, just seeing things, or for the social aspect of the shopping, the online channel might not be the right place to do that, because the online interaction is very different in the online environment, social interaction, and we will talk about that in a second. But managing the channel interaction and customer experience requires knowing the customers and understanding their needs in the first place, why they shop in different channels. Do they have a desire to touch the product? Do they need information? What kind of information? Do they need more social interaction? And this also depends on the type of a product or services. For some products, it is totally okay to just go and buy the product, but for some, you might want to actually see it, touch it, and takes maybe a longer time to make your decision. So understanding this is a important part for integrating actually the different channels. And we mentioned the social aspect of shopping environment. Places are not only physical, but they are also social, and they meeting other customers, the sales personnel, and so on, and having a social interaction is for some people very important. Research shows that shopping places or traditional shopping places might sometimes even have a restorative effect on consumers. So they are very important for consumers' well-being, and thus especially the social aspect of these places. When you live somewhere as an old retired grandma that her grandkids and kids live in a big city and they visit only once in a while, then the daily trip to the shop, that local shop, small shop that you make, might be actually the only social interaction that you do. So for some people, this is a very important aspect. But how about in the online environment, where the social interaction is actually mediated via technology and we interact more with the virtual assistants? Then we talk about what we call a parasocial interaction, where actually the interaction is somewhat one-sided and mediated via technology. But even in the online environment, social aspects might show, for example, through different, you might have a different question and answers, some forum where consumers can post, writing references for a certain product and so on. So there is an option for social interaction also in the online environment, but it's very different than in the traditional offline environment. So now when we look on the different places, both physical and online, consumers establish some relationships with different places. And these relationships we can call as a place attachment, or address them with the term of place attachment. And this often refers to, for example, neighborhoods or your hometown. And this is when you really love that place. You have some sort of relationship with the place, but it's also can be shown in the commercial settings. So you really like that store. Every time when you are in the town, you go to browse around. It does not have to be a store. It can be a restaurant, for example, or a bar or other commercial place. And these relationships have big impacts on both consumers and the companies. Because if the consumers have this kind of a positive relationship towards your place, what do they do? Of course, they tend to be more loyal. They are not that likely to switch to another provider if they have this kind of a relationship established with the place. They are more likely to spread positive word of mouth, and so on. So, one way maybe of how to combat the challenges of the omnichannel environment and keeping the customers shopping in your store and not switching to another provider is that you create your shopping environment so that the consumers like it. It arises some emotions in them, and they establish a positive relationship towards your place. So this place attachment concept is actually a core concept to my dissertation, and this is the main topic of my dissertation, and I have already published one article on this. It's one of the articles that was in the recommended readings. And with my colleagues from the marketing department, we look at this relationship that consumers establish with traditional places, but also with online places. So can consumers even establish this kind of a place attachment or relationships towards online places? And we found that yes, they can. And that it very much impacts their positive word of mouth, spreading of positive word of mouth. But what we found was that it does not necessarily prevent them from switching to another provider in the online environment. And we then look how these different aspects of the place attachment, like place identity, which is kind of the emotional attachment, place dependence, that is kind of the functional attachment, how well the place fulfills your needs, and then the social aspect of the place, how these then contribute to spreading of positive word of mouth and switching intentions. I could talk about this for a long time, but we are starting to run out of time. So let's then move to the next slide. And the omnichannel retail and digital technology kind of introduce a new ways to create a value. And we were talking about the service scapes and how companies can design service scapes so that it's more engaging for consumers, that they like it more and so on. But we have to think also that service scapes also serves as a platform, let's say, for value creation, and that the consumers co-create the service scapes. So some authors propose that instead of talking about service scape, we would actually talk about a value scape model, where the customer experience is shaped by interaction between the customer, the service provider, and the digital technology. And the customer create the value by building meaningful relationships, pursuing their goals, and engaging in various experiences. And so they propose this kind of a ValueScape model, which actually contains both value creating aspects as well as value destruct or destructive aspects. So when we can think about the ValueScape as a kind of interplay between the three main players, the customer, the service provider, and the digital technology. So the customer, I already mentioned that they try to fulfill their goal, they establish some kind of relationship, they have some kind of experiences, and this is the customer side. Now the service provider, they provide the physical venue, the products, the environment, and so on. They call it here a milieu, which is basically the your immediate environment. So they provide this shopping environment. There's the staff, how is the surrounding factors? Is the temperature okay? Is it too cold, too hot? And then we have the digital technology. And the authors of this model actually see it here in two ways. It can be either practical or actually intrusive. So you can use your smartphone, for example, as a localization tool. You are going through a Kärkkäinen and then you are looking for the number in their online store for the shelf number. Where is the product that you are looking for? Because that's easier than just going through the entire shop. The smartphones or digital devices can give you also information, scanning some QR codes and so on. You can get to get more information about the product and so on. But digital technology can be also disruptive in some sense, that the smartphones are all the time interrupting. And maybe if you did not have the smartphone all the time in your hand when you were shopping, then you would have maybe actually bought something else that you see, but you did not see it because you were looking on your smartphone. So they propose that kind of there should be a digital balance when using these technologies and in different channels. So let's quickly look at what are the consequences of this retail digital transformation. So we can think of consequences for consumers. On consumers, their lifestyle, convenience versus experience. When you want the convenience and things to be easy, you may build online, but for experiences, you go to the traditional places. The consequences for prices and product selection in the online environment might be much wider selection of products. Prices might be lower sometimes. But this kind of a shift from the traditional physical places to online, it also have a consequences for the society. So shopping malls, this kind of a power centers that are located on the suburbs with the big stores, they are public spaces. There are not only the shops, there are also services, there is other infrastructure that is related to them. And when we are moving from the traditional physical environment to the digital environment, we have to think about what happens with the infrastructure and what happens to what impact it has on the society when the shops are closing, what impact it has on the job market or consumer well-being. And consumers can either defend or resist the change. So stores can Some see the stores as a part of society, as they offer pleasure, interaction, browsing experience, trying products, and so on. And then those who are maybe a bit more innovative in that sense that store can be replaced and there are no crowds, there are no queues. It's more efficient. It's more environmentally friendly, maybe in some cases. So consumers can have different perspectives on this shift from the traditional places to the online places. So we will now, at the end of the session, we will now have a one more group assignment and a discussion. And you see, I sent you a message on the chat, and for some reason the Zoom kicked me out as a host, so I cannot set
Okay.
up the breakout rooms. So either
Strange.
you have to do it or make me a co-host.
Same happened to me earlier. I will make you a co-host.
Yeah. So in this group assignment, in the groups discuss the consequences of the digitalization of purchase locations. So groups 1 to 5 would discuss the positive consequences for individuals and consumers, for businesses. You can consider both domestic, international, large, small, and for society. And then groups 6 to 10 would discuss the negative consequences. And again, take a perspective of individual consumers, businesses, and society. And you can consider some concrete examples, and same as with the previous discussion, write those down and be able to prepare then to share with the rest of the class. When we divide the breakout rooms, you will not see the slides any longer, but you can find them from Moodle.
Sorry, Julie, we are tight on schedule, so should we reduce time for the assignment or for discussion?
Yeah, I think that we can see how the discussion is going in the breakout rooms, and we can a little bit, maybe not 10 minutes, but we can come back here after 7, 8 minutes and then have a quick sharing session still after so that we finish on time.
Excellent.
Okay, I will now divide you to the breakout rooms and I will stop the recording for the time of the